The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Genesis tells us that in the face of the great human wickedness that preceded the flood, Noah found favor in the eyes of God. What that means is that Noah found grace, and the Lord gave faith to Noah. He gave faith to Noah to trust God's promise of a seed of the woman who would come and crush the serpent's head. Noah had faith and looked forward to the fulfillment of God's promise. Otherwise, the Lord appears to him and says, Noah, my patience has run out. I'm going to bring a flood upon the earth, and I want you to build an ark. And I want you to take two of every kind of animal, except the clean animals that will be offered in sacrifice. Take seven of them. And I want you and your family to go upon the ark and to be safe and secure there when I bring my judgment upon this sinful world. If Noah had not had faith, he would have said,
I've worked hard today. I want to go to sleep. I'll
think about it tomorrow, Lord. And the Lord appears to him again the next evening and says the same thing.
Well, Lord, I am so tired.
And he would have missed it. He would have been sleeping when God was promising something of critical importance to him. What God was promising was not gold or treasure or jewels. God was not promising him a great name. God was not promising him wealth and riches and status, other than the status of being one chosen by God, one counted righteous by God through faith in God's promise. God was promising Noah and his family life. He was promising them rescue from condemnation. He was promising them that they would be citizens of a new creation that would be brought to pass by the washing clean of the earth and the animals and the people who were with Noah on the ark and who would replenish this new creation. In the same way, you, dear people in Christ, are also a new creation. Through holy baptism, your sins have been washed away. You have been delivered from sin and death and the devil, all the threat of condemnation that you rightly deserve on account of your sin. And in the face of God's law, no one, and particularly Christians should know this, in the face of God's law, when confronted with it, when forced to stare into the mirror of that law, no Christian can say, I have not sinned. No Christian can say, I have cleansed my heart and my hands. Instead, the proper response when confronted by the law is like Isaiah's response in the temple when he saw the Lord of hosts high and lifted up. Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, dwelling among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the Lord. But you remember what one of the cherubim did after Isaiah had this vision. With his tongs, he took a coal from the altar. And this cherubim, or cherub, touched Isaiah's lips with this coal. And he said, this coal from God's altar has touched your lips, and you are clean. Your sin has been taken away. And then he commissioned, or the Lord commissioned through this cherub, Isaiah's call as a prophet to go proclaim God's word of law and God's word of promise to the people of Judea, that God was going to act in judgment to bring people to repentance, but also in mercy. And the greatest way that God would act would be to send his Son, your Savior, Jesus Christ, into the world, into the flesh. For it is Jesus Christ through his gospel. It is Jesus Christ through your baptism. It is Jesus Christ through the confession of faith that you make that Jesus is Lord. It is Jesus Christ who gives you his body and his blood from this altar, who is the coal from God's altar that makes you clean. And this Jesus Christ is coming again. For he has not forsaken his people. No matter what your troubles, your losses, your sorrows may be, no matter what your sins may be, Jesus Christ is God's Lamb who has taken all of your sin, all of your sorrow, all of your loss upon himself there on the cross, where he gave himself up so that by his death, and that by his resurrection, he may bring to pass a new creation. But what is your response to this to be? Is it to be like that imaginary response I put forth of Noah? Oh, I'm tired. Oh, I want to watch the game. Oh, I just want to take it easy tonight. Anything else rather than listening to God's word and being stirred to faith by that word and being saved and delivered by God's redeeming word of gospel in Christ Jesus our Lord. St. Paul writes in today's epistle, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. Now, the sleep here is basically the sleep of unbelief. And unbelief is not the idea that someone doesn't believe in a God. You can believe in 1,000 gods, and that will not do you any good. Unbelief is lack of faith in Jesus Christ. Unbelief is living a life according to the flesh. Unbelief is indifference to Christ's gospel that is present for you, not in some vaporous kind of way, as radio waves through the air, but in the means of grace, in this proclamation of the gospel for you this evening, in the baptism that I hope you recall this evening, which was a washing away of sin, Scripture says, and a renewal by the Holy Spirit. Unbelief is indifference to God's gifts, the supreme of which is the sacrament of the altar, for there Jesus gives his body and blood and places it upon your lips and upon your tongue to take away your sins as he has taken away your sins forever by his death on the cross. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. The critical time, the critical hour, the time of crisis, the time of importance. This is not a matter of sleeping through a ball game on the couch on Sunday afternoon. This is not a matter of dozing off while you're reading a book. This is a matter of missing the critical hour of salvation that is nearer to us now than when we first believed. This is the hour of Christ's coming again in glory and power and might to deliver us, to make all things new, and to make us new by raising us up to glory so that we are like him in a purified, glorified human nature without sin, without death anymore, without anything to trouble us. Because then when he comes, we will be ushered fully into the fullness of that new creation. And that's what we are watching and waiting for. As the opening versicle said, the Spirit and the church cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus." Now, he has come in the flesh. And he comes to you now in the preaching of the gospel and in the sacraments. All those who await his appearance pray, "Come, Lord Jesus." But we aren't just talking about the preaching of the gospel and the administration and faithful reception of the sacraments. The whole creation pleads, "Come, Lord Jesus." We are pleading for him to come. To come in glory, to come in power, to come and usher us into his final and full deliverance. We are pleading for him to come and make all things new, to put an end to this present fallen creation by ushering in a new creation where we and all things are made new. And that's not something you want to miss. That's not something you want to sleep through. That's something that Scripture says we are to be watchful and alert and wakeful for. Because salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. Each day, each hour, each minute, with every ticking of the second hand, your salvation is nearer to you than when you first believed. Christ is coming again. No one knows the day nor the hour, Scripture says. But let's face it, with each day, each hour, each minute, each ticking of the second hand, the end of your life in this world is near too. Steadily progressing, inching closer and closer and closer. So how do we meet the Lord when he comes to us, either at the end of our life or at the end of the age? Well, we live our lives of faith as God's redeemed children. We are empowered in our Christian faith, our Christian walk, by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We cannot make it on our own. If we try to make it on our own, cut off from the gospel, cut off from the means of grace, we will experience one of two things. We will either despair, "I cannot be good enough. I can't be sure that I am saved because I don't know that I've done enough." Or we will become self-righteous. "I'm a good person. I try to love people. I try to do what's right. I don't really need God's forgiveness." Wake up from those delusions. You cannot be good enough to merit God's favor, God's goodness, God's grace. These are given only as a gift to you freely in the gospel. Wake up. No matter how great your sin is, no matter if it drives you to despair, no matter if the devil carrying his pitchfork points out your sin and drives you with his accusations into hell. Know this, Christ is the Lamb of God who has taken away your sin, removed it from you as far as the east is from the west, buried it in the depths of the sea, nailed it to the cross, buried it in his tomb. And through faith in him, you are forgiven. And what's more, God counts you as righteous and holy for the sake of his Son. Faith takes hold of God's promise, just as Noah didn't yawn and sleep and doze when the Lord told him he was bringing a flood upon the earth and to build an ark. Faith listens to God's word. Faith says, this word is for me. Faith says, this gospel is for me. Faith says, this word that is proclaimed is a word I need to hear. This absolution which God has called the pastor to proclaim to me, to pronounce upon me, is a saving word I need to hear. This gift of Jesus' body and Jesus' blood given in the sacrament of the altar is a gift I need to receive. Because otherwise, how can your faith be kept alive? When you are asleep, you dream. And in your dream, you are experiencing what seems to be reality. Now, admittedly, if your dreams are like mine, sometimes that reality of the dream world is pretty bizarre. But there in the depths of the dream, you're living it out. It's real to you, even though it's not true to life in the real world, the world around you. So it is for those who allow themselves to be lulled to sleep. They're living in a dream world. They're out of touch with reality. Those who don't believe are in a fantasy of their own creation or the devil's creation. They don't see the reality of their sin. And they don't see the greater reality that God gave his Son for sinners. So, you know the time. We're in the time of crisis, the critical time, the time for action, the time for repentance, the time for faith. The hour has come for you and for me to wake from sleep, because salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. And think of when you are sick, or think of when you have been at the bedside of a loved one who is sick, or a loved one who is dying. The hours of the night seem to drag so slowly. The clock seems to be mired in quicksand, and it seems to take forever for daylight to come. But finally, daylight does come, and what a relief it is. And what a greater relief it will be for us who are in Christ. When he appears, when he comes again and makes everything new, when he puts an end to this fallen creation and brings forth a beautiful new creation as pristine as that which was created by God speaking the word in Genesis. What is the response to this? Let us cast off the works of darkness, the works of unbelief. Let us put on the armor of light, put on the whole armor of God. All who have been baptized into Christ have clothed themselves with Christ. So cast off the works of darkness. As a Christian, they're foreign to you. They don't belong on you. Take them off by daily contrition and repentance, remembering your baptism. Put on the armor of light as God clothed you in that armor in your baptism when he brought you to faith. You can only stand up in the face of adversity and all the temptations your faith is confronted with by Christ alone. And as redeemed in Christ, walk properly as in the daytime. Go down into some of the rough places of town in Memphis or New Orleans or even Charlotte or probably Hickory too. Go there in the late hours of the night and you will see all kinds of things. This church is a place of light. The Holy Christian Church is a place of light because Christ himself is here. So as the redeemed, let us walk properly as in the daytime. Let's not be secretive. Let's not be hypocrites. Let's not indulge in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, certainly not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ as you await his reappearing. Make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Because the hour has come for you to wake from sleep and for me to wake from sleep. The hour of Christ's return, the hour of our final and full redemption, promised to us in our baptism, promised to us when by God's grace, through the Holy Spirit's work, we believed the gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.